Welcome back. My name is AB Ridgeway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things in My Mom's Favorite Christian Financial Advisor. And today, brothers and sisters, we are talking about a suburban woman who loses nearly $1 million of her life savings in a pig butchering scam. Have you heard of this? Pig butchering. Now, it has something to do with romance scams, but we are going to figure this out because we need to know these code words. We need to know what people are talking about. I don't know the slang for the scammers, but we're going to learn something today. Let's listen.
Rob, a West Suburban woman is talking to the iTeam about how she sent almost $1 million to a scammer. And she's not alone. The FBI estimates the scam known as pig butchering cost Americans nearly $4 billion last year alone. Almost $1 million gone.
I know. And then I had to tell my kids because they had no idea I had that kind of money.
All that money was socked away in investments, and now Erica Damask is in financial ruin. In fact, she was forced to sell her Lombard home and everything in it.
This is my garage sale. It's really hard because a lot of the stuff, there's glasses here that belong to my husband, and I have to sell them.
Her husband passed away decades ago, and recently Damask met a man online.
He said he loved me.
But the FBI says that tactic is just part of the fattening up or pig butchering.
Fraudsters are going to fatten up the victims by putting more, enticing the victims to put more money into an investment. And then they're going to slaughter them by walking away and stealing their money.
Wow. Wow. That is pig butchering. And the crazy part about it is fatten them up. I wonder if that's like to the words that they're saying, like, hey, I love you. I care about you. I want to be with you. All these flattering things, making them bigger than what they really are. And wow, she lost her husband and now she has to steal her life savings. But brothers and sisters, if you are on YouTube, if you're not on YouTube, you should follow me at Financial Advisor Say the Darndest Thing so you can actually see some of the video that we are actually reviewing. But on YouTube, you can see her house. She doesn't look like your typical millionaire. She has a garage full of kind of junk. Her house looks pretty mediocre. I read a book called The Millionaire Next Door. So even her children didn't know she had that type of money. But the key word here was that she had it in investments. She was putting money away and it was growing. It was compounding and she didn't have to brag about it. She doesn't have any name brand clothes on. She's not driving a Rolls Royce, but she has the money in the account. It's resources. It's the ability to have discretion in your life. So being wealthy is not about the accumulation of things. It's really about having discretion, the ability to work or not to work when you want to, how you want to. And that's what we want. We don't want just freedom to choose. You have freedom to choose right now. You can work or if you don't want to work, but to have the discretion of working and still not sacrifice your livelihood. But let's keep going. But this is sad. Pig butchering. I've never heard of this thing. I hope I never have to hear about it in real life, but I hope that you understand what this is and see some of the signs. So next time you see someone online talking about invest here and get money and all this other stuff, you may just be the pig they're trying to fatten up.
He's working on a oil rig and something broke down. Can I send him $20,000? And I said, whoa. I said, you know what? I need to pray about this. The second time I sent $35,000.
Over time, that money sent reached nearly $1 million. Damask says the scammer told her she would get double her money back in his investments. Instead, she now owes money back to her bank, cash which she took from her home equity loan. Plus, she must pay taxes on her investment withdrawals.
She was sending $100,000, $300,000, $50,000 at a time. And it was never brought up and stopped and checked.
She and her son say the money was sent via cashier's checks or wire transfers through Fifth Third Bank. They say when they filed reports with the FBI and the Secret Service, agents told them that bankers should have spotted unusual patterns.
They never questioned, why are you closing this whole account?
But in this letter to Damask, Fifth Third said it asked a series of questions that the customer must answer before a wire transfer is sent.
Yep.
And that her answers provided did not raise concern for potential fraud.
Come on, Fifth Third. I'm not a supporter of big banks, or I'm not pro or against big banks. Not at all, right? Because they are custodians. They hold our money. They do things that we don't see, right? I've worked in the banking industry, so maybe I'm a little bit biased. I'm willing to say that, right? I am a little bit biased, but Fifth Bank writes in a letter. Now, I do want to keep the same energy. If you're following us, we talked about a scam about solar power where they talked about things that they do, but it's never really in writing, right? So in this case, they said, hey, we asked a series of questions before the wire transfer. Nothing raised any suspicion. Do I think that's true? Yes and no. So there's two things we need to understand here. There's the law, and then there's the spirit of the law. So I've worked in the bank. When things go against the bank's favor, they go by the letter of the law, meaning what is written down in your contract. So if you're supposed to pay 23.1%, you're going to pay 23.1% because that's the letter of the law. If you have an overdraft fee, if you overcharge a certain amount and that's a legitimate charge, you are going to be charged that amount and they don't have to reimburse anything. Now, the second part is the spirit of the law. Now, if you accidentally make a transaction online and there was a mistake and you call your bank, they will sometimes act in the spirit. They'll give you a refund, say, oh, sorry, that was a mistake or whatever it was. Here, let's give you a refund. Or if you overdrafted by a couple of dollars, like, you know, it's under $5. Let's give them their money back, right? But here, when you are doing a wire transfer, there is a series of questions that they are going to ask you. And as a banker, there is a letter of the law. Who are you sending it to? How much do you want to send? Are you sure you want to send this wire? Do you know the person you are wiring to? These are typically kind of like general questions that a majority of banks are going to ask. They're kind of like a templated answer. Each bank is going to be different, but they're fairly similar because when you do these wire transfers, they take the information, then they got to read it back to you. Say, okay, is this the person? Is this the thing? Now you'd be like, well, why would they double check? Maybe they just sent it. You know why they double check? Because if you don't verify it with the client and you send it somewhere else, the banker may be liable for that transaction. And guess who is not going to pay for a $50,000 or $60,000 wire transfer? This banker, or any banker for that matter. Okay. So I just want to put you in my seat and let you in on, I totally believe that they went over these questions with her. Now, did they go over it with her every time? Maybe, maybe not. And what I mean by that is after a while, you need to develop some intuition. This is where we come in. This is where we start talking about the spirit of the law. Now, they asked the right questions. She verified who it was. But after two or three transactions, her closing the bank, they should have been able to ask the question like, are you sure you want to do this? Right? Now, this is stepping outside of the law. This is actually stepping outside of their position. But this is where human beings come in. This is where you say, this just doesn't seem right. Something is a little bit off. Now, it's easy to say that objectively after she's ripped off $4 million and you see all the transactions. But day to day, you may not think of anything. We don't know what she said to that banker. I've had elderly individuals who have been the victim of some scams lie to my face. They literally say, I know this person. I know what I'm doing. Some of them even say, I'm helping a child. My kid is over here. I need to send the money because they're putting a down payment on the home. Oh, okay. How much is the home? The home is about $500,000. Oh, okay. That's an expensive home overseas. But like I said, if you're doing it for your child, it's okay, right? So we have to think about what are they saying to the bankers to make them feel like there's nothing wrong? Because this lady, she is in her right mind, but she was overpowered by love. But let's get back to the video. I just want to give you, you know, some insight of what that actually looks like when you're at the bank and why this is not as, I want to say, suspicious as we thought it was.
Fifth Third told the I team that the bank meets applicable red flags provisions of the Fair and Accurate Credit Transactions Act.
Unfortunately, the trend is growing.
The international crime police organization Interpol says the scammers are using human trafficking victims like this woman to carry out their crimes.
If you don't take part in it, you get punished very bad.
The FBI says if you wire money or crypto, there's little chance you will get it back. But if you report it to the FBI quickly, there is some hope.
Our recovery asset team has had tremendous success in the last several years and recovered hundreds of millions of dollars for victims of fraud.
Authorities were unable to recover Damask's losses, but she says what hurts more is letting go of her home, furniture, and other longtime memories, like this chalkboard built into the garage.
And this is my grandson. He's the only one that ever wrote on there. I have a hard time with it because...
You think about the memories?
Yeah. A lot of things are going to be gone, and it's really hard.
Very sad. One tip to help stop this: financial institutions may allow your loved ones to add trusted contacts to their accounts so bank reps can call you if your family members are making suspicious transactions.
Yes, brothers and sisters, trusted contact purposes. Now, let me dig a little bit deeper into what this is first, because there is some confusion about what a trusted contact person is. So, one, a trusted contact person is not a joint owner, meaning that they don't have access to your account. They can't make any transactions, any withdrawals, or even any deposits into that account without going through a certain process. Okay. That's the trusted contact individual. This person can only be contacted about the suspicion. So you say, hey, there's some suspicious activity, or we haven't heard from Miss Mary in a month. She comes here every Friday. We haven't seen her in a while. We just want to make sure we do a wellness check. That's what a trusted contact person is. Or like in this case, hey, we just want to talk to you, maybe have a conversation with Miss Mary. If you'd like to come into our office with her, with your permission, we'd love to discuss some things or whatever it may be, right? All those type of things are okay. Now, the power of attorney that we talk about, that person actually has the power to make financial decisions on behalf of the person. So you have a power of attorney. Now, joint owners, those are people who are actually on the account. They can actually make some, you know, withdrawal and deposit decisions on that account as well. So make sure you get that right. You know, you have the trusted contact person, you have your power of attorney, and then you have joint owners. Those are three distinct titles. They could all be the same person. That's not the problem. But if you are going to add somebody or even several bodies, make sure it's the right type of person. And you're only going to figure that out if you do your research or get your financial five. Once again, you're going to get your financial advisor, you're going to get your accountant, your lawyer, your power of attorney, and your executor, your power five. This should be your trusted community for all things transactional. You shouldn't have to sell your chalkboard and your home this late in life for a romance scam. Now, she didn't go too deeply on what they were saying about how much they loved her and they cared about her. We just did the story of a woman who lost $98,000. One of the scammers said, I can't wait to spend 24 hours in bed with you. She's 84 years old and they're still talking this way to this lady and trying to fill her up with these affirmations and, oh, you're beautiful, you're kind. And I'm not saying these things aren't true, but when someone is giving too many compliments, you have to start thinking to yourself, are they trying to take advantage of me? Okay. Well, I don't want to extend the story out too much, but I do want to help you protect yourself. If you don't know anything about finances, make sure you check out our other videos on potential financial scams. There's romance scams, there's mail scams, there's social security scams. There's all types of scams that you can be vulnerable to. As a financial advisor, yes, it's my job to help build your assets, to help grow your money by investing and helping you make financial decisions. But it's not just about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. Sometimes it's about protecting your assets from downside risk. We usually assume risk with investing, but they're also scam risk. Because if you make 10, 20% in the market, but you're giving all your money away to a romance scam, is that really winning? You're not. You're still losing. As a Christian financial advisor, it's my job to work with you to help protect your assets from downside risk, even if the risk is a scam. Now, I'm not liable for what happens or what you do with your money. I'm not liable for that aspect, but I can coach you on some of the signs as we see in some of these videos. So if you don't know any of the signs or you want to check out some more scams because maybe you feel like you're in a scam or maybe you feel that you need some more information, you could check out some of our other videos. I have playlists that are going to be at the end of this video. Also, make sure that you subscribe and like, because we don't just have scam videos. We have retirement tips. We have Social Security video playlists. We have videos that break down stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and index, how you can actually create your financial plan. But once again, it starts with the four pillars to Christian investing. It's a 19-page beginner guide that goes over debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers. I recommend that you download it. You can go to Amazon. You can pay for it all that you want, or you can click the link in the description and you can get it for free, because we are going to build our financial plan on those four pillars in this. Well, brothers and sisters, that is it for me. My name is AB Ridgway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.